I thought, you know, lots of times I've heard preachers talk about, oh, it's the new year, we got to talk about something new and New Year's resolutions. And so I thought I would do just a little bit of that with a theme of remember whose you are to become who you are meant to be. And so this is a little bit of a remembrance of salvation, what happened next, and as the Lord leads us on from there. And whoever would Matthew, this isn't up there, but Matthew 6, 25, for whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life. But today I'm going to be talking through Colossians 2, and we're going to start with verse 6. And we can follow along up there. If you want to use your Bible or your app, go ahead. But verse 6, therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Just for a reminder, in Ephesians 2:8, it talks about we were saved by grace through faith, so that no one can boast. God's grace is working. It's his influence on us or the situation for us to receive him. The goal is to continue. Sometimes I think we forget, but the goal is to continue to allow God's grace to work in our lives through faith as we progress in our walk with him. Not to achieve our own righteousness ever, because Jesus did that for us, but submitting to the Spirit of God and trusting with faith to him. One other scripture I'll just point out is John 15:4. Abide in me. This is the abiding scripture of John. Abide in me and I in you. Jesus is the living word of God, and it's for us to continue to read the word and trust and pray and be built up in his word, especially abounding in thanksgiving. It's probably one of the areas of my own life that I sometimes lack, is being thankful, especially in hard things. And recently I heard this story that may be not new to you, but it was new to me. It was Corrie Ten Boom, and she was in this story, this pastor was talking about how her and her family, you know, they were saving Jews, and eventually they ended up in a concentration camp. And here, her and her sister are in the camp. They're in the barracks, and Corrie had had enough, and she basically was upset because there was fleas. And I would, if it was me, I would have been extremely upset as well. And there's no way I'm giving thanks for fleas. But her sister reminds her and says, Corrie, we got to give thanks for all things. That's what the scripture says. And so they give thanks for the fleas. And I had never heard this story, but basically they were able to do Bible studies and prayer, and the guards never, not once, came in and interrupted anything they were doing. Later on, they were able to find out that it was because of those fleas that the guards never came into those barracks. And God was able to do so much because of something that was so annoying. And it just reminded me of, there's so many times where I'm going through something that something around me is just annoying me or causing me trouble, and yet God's saying, give thanks for all things, for we don't know what he's using to bring about his good. By philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Jesus is where our focus and our attention needs to be, verse 9. For in him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. That is, Jesus is dwelling in you when you receive him in salvation. Verse 11, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. Say that fast. by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Circumcision was a covenantal sign in the flesh in the Old Testament for the Jewish people. And covenants, and it was a covenant into Judaism. What's being talked about here is when you have said yes to Jesus, you made a new covenant with him. But this one is that you were born again, that you were born from above. That word born again means born from above or born by the Spirit. And it's talked about in John 3, if you want to ever read that. Paul is also talking and pointing to a circumcision of the heart. Heart, just so everyone kind of understands, it's not our physical heart, although it can mean that. It's your mind, will, and emotions in the Greek. And it also, when you dig into it further, it talks about the center of a person or the spiritual life of a person. So it has a very deep meaning, the heart does. Moving on to verse 12. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised him from the dead, you have died. You can read about this, Romans 6. And as well, and now you've been made new by faith in Jesus, which allows you to freely choose to submit to the Spirit of God, because before that it was too hard. You just couldn't do it. Your sin nature was too powerful. And you became, and now it says we can become a slave to righteousness, as the law that's written on our hearts is now fulfilled in Jesus Christ through faith in him. Verse 13. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. So the uncircumcision, when it's messed, Paul will talk about circumcised and uncircumcised in many of his letters. We are Gentiles, we're non-Jewish, we're the uncircumcised. So when you see that, that's what he's referencing. God, that's the mystery Paul talks about of the gospel, that the Gentiles along with the Jews would be brought in but through faith. So it says, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. We have been made alive, praise God. And Isaiah 53 talks about that Jesus, when he was beaten, pierced, and shed his blood on the cross, paid for our debts, paid for sin. But it also pays for trespasses, iniquity, and transgressions, bringing healing in the form of eternal life and restoring a relationship to the Father. The rulers and authorities that were met. Verse 16, therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink, or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath, which these are regulations under the law. Verse 17, these are a shadow of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on asceticism, which I had no idea what that meant, but humiliation of the mind or extreme humbleness of the mind and worshiping of angels, going on in detail about visions, puffed up without reason by his sensuous mind. Verse 19, not holding fast to the head, from whom the whole body nourished and knit together through its joints and ligaments grows with a growth that is from God. Which is kind of the point of the, God does he does the work, he does the growing. Most of our job is to surrender. Our job is to walk with him. Verse 20, if with Christ you died to the elemental spirits of the world, Why, as if you were still alive in the world, do you submit to regulations? Do not handle, do not taste, do not touch, referring to things that all perish as they are used, according to human precepts and teachings. Promote verse 23. These have indeed an appearance of wisdom in promoting self-made religion and asceticism and severity of the body, but they are of no value in stopping the indulgence of the flesh. Probably why I can't give up chocolate. We're gonna keep going this bit. We're going kind of fast, and I'm not gonna take too long here because there is this big football game to. Chapter 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, and then if you look back to chapter 2, verse 12, if you were baptized into his death, then by faith you are raised into his life by the power of God. So if then you have been raised with Christ, verse 1, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, which is the kingdom of God, not on things that are on earth, for you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So then Paul goes into a list. Verse 5, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these two you once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk with your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. In sports, and if you've ever tried to learn a musical instrument, we try to practice what we want it to sound like. You don't actually practice what you don't want it to sound like. And so, Paul's really saying, don't practice these things. He's going to give a list of what to practice coming up. But recently, and my wife helped remind me of this, recently God has been showing me some things I am practicing I should not be good at. One of them is I need to speak more kindly to my wife, especially when I'm sick and stressed out, or both at the same time. Yep. Definitely we need to be practicing these next examples that Paul talks about, starting in verse 10, where he's talking about putting on the new self. So put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. See, all people, once Jesus came, all people cannot come to the adoption of God. You can become into his family by grace through faith. About this further in towards the end of Galatians 3 and the beginning of Galatians 4. Verse 12, put on then as God's chosen ones, here's his list: holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Most of those things and most of the lists you'll see, these are all really attributes of Jesus. He walked in this perfectly, and he's our example. Verse 14, and above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Verse 15, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, in which indeed you are called in one body to be thankful. I'm just going to give a quick summary. and then an even quicker summary in case it was too long. Okay, so again, you were born again by God's Spirit upon receiving salvation by God's grace through faith in Jesus. And we ought to continue to walk in grace and faith, and especially to be thankful. That's for me and for everyone else that needs it. You were made dead in baptism and raised alive by faith through the power of God, freed from being a slave to sin, being able to choose to be a slave to righteousness by submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. Now, no matter, this really hits home for me, no matter all that you would try to do according to your own strength, it will not stop His kingdom and surrender our lives to Him. Lastly, forgive everything and everyone, practice the attributes of Jesus, and again, be thankful. If it was too long for you, I made an even shorter summary. This is my one sentence summary. Surrender all of yourself to God and let Him transform you. Heather, if you would come up and do some noodling, that would be amazing. I thought it would be great. Since we just talked about salvation, I don't know where everyone's at, and I don't know if today maybe God's doing some stirring within you to draw you to take two more steps with Him. But I really wanted to take this opportunity to at least present a very simple gospel. When Jesus asked Peter, He said to Peter, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter responded and said, "You are the Messiah, the Christ." Same word, Messiah, Christ, meaning Savior. "You are the Son of the living God." This, turns out, is the key into the kingdom of heaven. This is the one thing that's required of us to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. This is very simple. It's in Romans 10, 9 and 10. Says that if we confess that Jesus is Lord, that word Lord, we don't really know what that means. We're far removed from what that means. But when you look it up in the Greek, it means supremacy, it means God. So if you confess that Jesus is God, you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, it says you will be saved. And so I just want to just say it out loud that we can... I'm going to say it real slow. I confess, Jesus, that You are the Christ, the Son of God, and You're alive, seated at the right hand of the Father. And I surrender my life to You. And it's as simple as that, because you believe in your that He is alive. And that He is in you. And so, if God has stirred you during this service, please reach out. We'll have some prayer people on the sides. Talk to myself, talk to Brian Bedford. He's another elder that's here today. And let people know that if you've received Jesus as your Savior and chosen to walk with Him, let someone know that they can help you then walk out your Christian life today. If today you've restarted, you felt something restart within you, also let people know. And find a Bible plan, find people to gather, find people to learn and walk with you. This is a new year, it's a new opportunity for each of us. And so I'll just pray, and then we'll return to worship. Father, we thank You that You had a plan. And so, Father, I thank You for Your plan. I thank You that, Jesus, You walked all the way through to the very end, completing the plan that the Father had. because of love, but because also of debt. And so, Lord, I thank you for that love for us. I thank you for today. I thank you for our church family. Help us to worship you and live a life pleasing to you this year. And as we help us to walk just 2 more steps, 3 more steps in your plans for us. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.